tweet at Late Debate RTE.
Okay, hello again. We began this evening looking at the cost of living crisis at the moment. I suppose the reason we're in the current crisis is the war in Ukraine, the main victims of which are, of course, the people of Ukraine, many of whom have arrived in Europe, in European countries, seeking asylum. 1 million to Germany, 1.5 million to Poland, and 70,000 here. And Maddie McGrath, the Rural Independent Group, has called for a debate on immigration. This is the Late Debate. In the context of the debate you want, what do you think needs to be changed about Ireland's current immigration system? And in your analysis, what's the problem with it?
Well, you see, I'm talking in the Dáil and Seanad, we kind of have an echo chamber. Everyone is talking about it on every street corner and every place they meet. It's an issue. We see from a recent poll, 56% of people have issues or concerns about it. So, and you see, when you don't have a proper cohesive plan, which the government hadn't, first, okay, this war started, no one wanted it or expected it, and it was a disastrous and horrible war. And the Red Cross were handed the job first. It's been totally ham-fisted, the whole organisation of it. They couldn't do it. Obviously, were overwhelmed by it, as we all are. The Irish people rose up and gave their homes and did open their houses and answered the call. But it's just now it's so big, and as I said, over 70,000 have arrived, and we just have seen it. It's crisis management, and Minister O'Gorman himself are writing to our other ministers looking for support and help. So there's no cohesive plan. We haven't had a debate either in committee or in, and I'm talking about a reasonable, careful and calm debate, because otherwise you're leaving a vacuum. The people are filling it, unfortunately, and we see a hostility. And then there's rumour. I mean, I contacted about a building in my own town of Care last 10 days ago. People were contacting me at the old bank and someplace else. And I wrote to Minister O'Gorman, and Minister O'Brien came back to me towards the evening, thankfully, said there are no plans or discussions. And I sent that back out to the people that were concerned. Monday morning at 6:30, a bus was bringing workers to, picking up workers in the square in Care to bring into the local factory. Good workers. We're keeping that plant going, a very good plant, giving great employment as well. And someone took a photograph of it and put it up that there was 50 or 55 Somalis that arrived in the dead of night. It's 5:30, pitch dark on the bank holiday morning. And it took off again. And the abuse I got and everyone else associated, you know, so there's a huge vacuum. There's no consultation. There's no kind of planning.
But just in that specific instance, because I just want to be clear about it. So the bank wasn't being used.
No. And there was no intention to use it at that time in the minister.
So it was a rumour.
It was somebody with a camera that took the bus and added two and got 24 and decided to put this up on social media.
But how can any reasonable or rational debate effectively combat somebody who is prepared not to check and put those kind of rumours into the public domain?
Yes, very difficult, but at least, as I said, we're 12 months almost into the war and there's no, we've had no discussion. I've been looking for this for 4 or 5 months and we've had no discussion. And worse than that, when we look for it and ask for it, people get offended and say that we're calling me racist.
Well, we are going to debate it and nobody's going to call you racist. But I do want to ask you one thing before I move to the rest of the panel. In a statement that was issued by the Rural Independent Group, it says the rise in migration has only exacerbated the already dire housing situation with Ukrainian refugees being housed in tents. Now, even within that sentence, the housing situation for refugees is being exacerbated by other refugees arriving in. But no Irish person has been removed or deprived of a social house, have they?
No, but they feel they're on lists. Like a taxi man here in Dublin last week, he was 12 years on a waiting list. I'm making the point, we were discussing it earlier, almost 12,000 people without a house, and we haven't been able to solve that problem. And I think it's lack of, really lack of effort, Herculean effort that we should have had. But as I said, the numbers in that are coming in also of people with no documentation, 574 of them, 14,000 came in last year with no paperwork at all. And 574 today. I had a gentleman in my office today who travelled to the airport to go to Dubai. His son brought him a holiday, the retired couple. And because his passport didn't have 6 months on it, he was sent home back to his house.
Okay.
Couldn't get on the plane.
There has been numerous immigration lawyers on radio and media and TV this week, last week, this month. These people get fake or reusable passports to get to Ireland because they are trafficked, and the trafficker takes the passport from them in the airport before they get the passport control. It's not like they wandered on a plane and threw it in the bin.
I don't know what it is.
That's not what happened. So the notion that someone tears up the passport, or they didn't get here without a passport, they're being trafficked here. And I find it hard to believe that a sitting politician has not heard an immigration solicitor saying this on radio and TV.
Matty McGrath, I'll let you back in a moment. Jed Nash.
Eve is right. There were certain exploitative industries in this country and workers have been trafficked.
I'll let you back in a moment.
Represented workers, individually and collectively, who've been trafficked to this country by some exploitative industries and a minority of bad actors in those industries. So I'm very familiar with what Aoife was talking about. There's evidence there to suggest that. And it's very difficult to have, you know, when we start talking about, you know, having a national debate on immigration, I mean,
and isn't that point, and isn't that something then that should be tackled, regardless of whether or not you think those people shouldn't be there, or whether you want to welcome those people into the country, the act of trafficking
that's a given. No, that's implicit. I read Matty's statement earlier on, and it's very difficult to accept Matty's bona fides in terms of his request debate. Sorry, just a second, because it's an important issue for a debate when you look at the loaded language that was actually used in that particular statement. And I'll read through it if you wish. I prefer not to put it on record, but it's out there. Now, I'll say this, though.
Let's stay in the realm of facts.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And that's I think we must, if we're going to have that conversation, we need to do
always.
That. But Matty's conflating the issues of housing and stretched health service with the arrival of refugees and people who are seeking international protection, who will have their claims processed in due course, in terms of due process in this country. I'll say this, if you're looking at who you want to apportion the blame to in terms of stretched health services in this country, or difficulties in terms of social and affordable housing, Matty meets those individuals every single day of the week, and he debates them in the Dáil every single day of the week, on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and Thursday at least. That's where we have those debates about these issues. Let's not blame people who are coming to this country for stretched services. Responsibility lies with government, and it's a question of public investment.
Hang on a second, we haven't heard from Nasser Harrigan yet.
Some of the language today, it's very difficult to accept the bona fides of anybody using the language. Here's the thing.
Deputy McGrath is right about one thing, is that it is a very challenging time right now. And we do need a plan, actually. We do need to talk about a plan. So in November of 2022, the Taoiseach offered to set up a committee on immigration, but that offer wasn't progressed or taken up by any of the TDs who had asked him about it. I actually have been working a little bit with the department to see if maybe we could have an immigration caucus. I think if we're serious about talking about a plan and the detail, let's sit down and do that. Let's sit down and do that in a real way. If you stand in the Dáil, it's about polemic and it's about sound bites. But I would absolutely welcome sitting down and making a plan together.
Okay. Can I just ask, Matty McGrath, just back to you. The closing paragraph of your statement says, the attempts by the Irish establishment to silence public discourse through tactics such as gaslighting and the implementation of restrictive hate speech laws are deeply concerning. What are you being prevented from saying that you would like to say?
I've been prevented a number of times in the floor of Dáil Éireann, being accused of all kinds of obscenities in the Dáil by other members. And this whole business committee, it's something that's crept in. I'm entitled to, you know what I mean, have my views expressed. I'm looking for this debate. Jed is right. We have those problems in housing.
Just in answer to that specifically. What specific view would you like to express that you fear would fall foul of hate crime legislation?
I've only asked for a reasonable and a practical debate and a calm debate on it. And I've been called, shouted across from parties on the left and from parties of the right, because I've asked for this. And is that a crime?
But why didn't you take up the offer of a committee then?
I wouldn't offer any committee.
The Taoiseach actually was responding to you when he offered
but was the committee set up?
No, but he offered if you felt that would be useful.
I couldn't offer a committee. Committees, look, we had a meeting with Minister O'Gorman there, I say November. I know you were there, Jed, but Thomas Penguin and I were there for the meeting, and a very good meeting, and a very productive meeting with the officials about how it was working and the problems that were in it. There was a briefing for all parties, and only two of us, maybe three of us turned up out of all the groups. And it was a very productive meeting, I would say. I was very thankful because I got educated on many things that I was concerned about, and Deputy Pingle will confirm that. As I said, we have all those problems already, and the health problems, the waiting lists, and the delays, especially after post COVID. But how can we just have open, take in countless numbers, and have our services diminish further?
A listener texts in to say, "Good man, Matty, don't let yourself be silenced. The Liberals want to shut him up. Please have the courage to read this
He's
out."
He's on Matty, the national radio.
Matty, I was just going to ask.
That's some form of censorship.
Do you feel really silenced this evening, Matty McGrath?
No. And thanks to your producers and receptionists.
Okay,
give me the opportunity.
Kieran texts in. "I live in Kerry and have no problem with refugees coming to Kerry. As a son of Irish immigrants, it would be the height of hypocrisy for me to think otherwise." And that said from Kieran, would you, Aoife Moore, you wanted to come in.
Yeah, not to do your job for you, but you never answered the last question. So what has the hate crime, what are you being prevented? First of all, in the Dáil, you're not prevented from saying anything because you have privilege. But what are you being prevented from saying that you are so against these, this hate crime legislation?
I've been prevented by my colleagues and not having to choose
it. That's nothing to do with hate crime legislation.
No, I'm just saying they're creating hate because they're shouting at me that I'm a racist, and some of my colleagues, and Deputy Cam Nolan, when she raised this issue.
My colleague, Labour Leader Ivana Bacik, has consistently called for a coherent plan for a public information campaign.
I didn't say that,
to make sure there's
that
kind of factual information available.
Yes.
I mean, I was speaking, you know, to others today about the need for example, you know, we need an effort style response. Ivana has said this repeatedly. It needs to be properly managed.
Yes, yes.
Needs to be fact based, where people understand what is an asylum seeker, what are our obligations under international law, what is a refugee, what are they entitled to. Okay, that's the kind of fact based kind of information that we need. And I think everybody accepts that we do need that. But I would say this as well. Like, I think Matty sees it just a political opportunity.
No, you're
not.
Quite frankly.
Okay.
I've never seen Matty on a housing protest. I've never seen Matty take the time to actually
engage. You've made a direct accusation. Hang on a second. We've made a direct accusation of Matty McGrath. Matty McGrath.
Of course, I've been more convinced
that Matty's position actually is.
Better
than a housing protest. After a horrendous robbery of an old, fairly old man in my parish, we set up a voluntary housing group. We built 14 houses, 12 lay people came together and did it in a year and a half. The county council in the same field gave 4.5 years building 12 houses. And we deported 3 afterwards. So I was interested in housing anybody else. My office is overran with unfortunate people waiting for houses.
I want to ask you just a specific question again on the statement. And you've called for a debate, and I presume the statement you put out lays the parameters for the debate you want to have. You say the houses...
It's only statements, not a debate.
Okay,
statements.
You said the housing crisis and its intersection with immigration has become the biggest issue facing Ireland. The government's embrace of migration policies has only made the situation worse, with no solutions in sight for Irish citizens who are now homeless or languishing on social housing lists. Yeah. Is there a zero-sum game between people coming here seeking international protection, 122 of them have not been offered accommodation by the department, and people who are on social housing lists? How are people arriving here seeking international protection making the situation of people on social housing lists worse?
But if we're going to offer them proper treatment, it's going to be, they should be getting. That's my point. Is we limit the number, we look after them properly, we have services, we don't have them in tents, so there will be a pressure there. But the problem that I have, and many people have, is the Taoiseach, President Tánaiste, and now the President Taoiseach, they've all mentioned up that we can take up to 100,000, 200,000. So we simply can't handle it. Let's be fair and honest. I'm only saying what's going through my head and my mind. We can't manage it, and because we can't manage what the numbers that we have, the 70,000 plus, and plus the 14,000, as I said, non-Ukrainian, we're under appalling pressure.
Sure, but some of them are living in tents. Some of them are remaining in direct provision. Some of them are homeless on the street.
Yes.
So the issue of social housing waiting lists are not being exacerbated by these people,
If we want to try and integrate, we'll talk about the last topic, getting houses,
but they're not
CPO
currently,
property,
but
they will be, sure.
But they're not currently, are they?
No, but they can't go back somehow,
okay.
Yeah?
Not so hurricane.
I mean, I just think what the Taoiseach said today is exactly right. We have a housing problem. We absolutely do. We have a health problem. We absolutely do. But if your political answer to that is to point to a vulnerable cohort, then it's a kind of a fairly narrow political view.
Isn't there also a political responsibility on government to properly resource the immigration system so that asylum claims can be assessed quickly so that the entry points to the country can be adequately policed for the likes of trafficking, so that some people need to be helped, some people need their claims processed quickly, Nessa Harrigan.
I absolutely agree with you, yes, and we need to get much better. And not necessarily that we need to get faster, but we need to do it in a more humane way. And in a fairer way. I think that, you know, we can focus on things like borders and airports and things like that, but actually I think, you know, we don't have particularly good trafficking legislation and we're not very good at dealing with that. Like, we think of it in terms of, let's say, for example, sex work, but it's much more prevalent in things like fisheries.
Jed Nash, the government at European Council level is happy enough for the European Union to pay 3.5 billion euro to Turkey to stop migrants moving through Turkey and get to European shores. How is that any different from anyone else who's arguing for restrictive migration policies at the Irish border? It just pushes it further away.
Well, that's it. I mean, it creates an issue for somebody else. I mean, I've always had a difficulty with that kind of approach, but look, bringing it back to kind of first principles here, you know, we have debates and conversations about this all of the time. We have people who remain to be convinced that we can deal with this issue, which has, I won't say caught us off guard, because we anticipated this a number of months ago and the levels of planning have been, frankly, poor and don't serve anybody well. That's why we want the coherent strategy that my colleague Deputy Vanna Batchik has been calling for some time now, because, you know, we can't continue, you know, in this vein. But no, and when I mean that, I mean, you know, the inadequacy in terms of the forward planning.
Right. I just want to go back to Matty McGrath, because he did make an important point. Somebody took a photo of a busload of people being taken off from the middle of a town and
going to work.
They raised concerns with you about that. There's another debate to be had on this, though, isn't there, as well, Matty McGrath?
They put it on social media and said that I was telling lies, that they were covering up the fact that there were migrants being moved in there.
And isn't that another debate to be had by public representatives in every locality to use their position as public representatives to ask parliamentary questions to attain the right information and counter those?
And I did. I had the right information, but I was told I was a liar because somebody took a photograph of, and the bus company was very offended. Good Lambeth coaches, they've done this for years, and they were very offended that this be portrayed in that way.
Aoife Moore.
Yeah, I actually think there is a longer issue, and it was pointed out at the start of this crisis, and I do think now it is part of the reason why we are seeing this anti-immigrant sentiment. The government made a serious song and dance about accepting Ukrainian refugees and helping Ukrainian refugees and doing everything we could, which we absolutely should be. Such a difference was made with Ukrainian people and people in direct provision and people coming from Afghanistan and people coming from Syria. So what we're seeing now is this real cognitive dissonance, as in Ukrainian good,
real divergence,
everyone, So Ukrainians good, everyone else bad. And what we're seeing is now, it's not about issues around housing and health. What we're seeing on the streets of Dublin now is intimidation and it's racism. It needs to be called what it is. These are no longer people with concerns about social housing and transport but the government has responsibility here because they made such a song and dance about how they were going to treat Ukrainian people. And have we decided that the Taliban aren't as bad as Putin? Because that does seem to be what they would say.
There's a responsibility on government and all public representatives to be responsible in terms of how we all approach this, because there is an extreme here whose views are being amplified over the last period of time, and that's growing all the time. And what I'm concerned about when I talk about the people who are to be persuaded, I want to kind of clarify that. I mean the people who have questions, who ask myself and NASA and others questions every day. But look, you know, what's happening here? You know, I think government have a responsibility now to actually just provide information in terms, as I said, you know, this is Ireland's international obligation. This is what we sign up to as a mature, responsible democracy. This is our obligation to the wider world, right? And we need to be very responsible. These are our legal responsibilities. This is what an asylum seeker is. This is the type of persecution they are fleeing from. Just so people can be educated about actually what it is we're dealing with.
When that discussion erupted in your locality, in the middle on that, what would have helped for you to counter what you saw as disinformation? What would have supported you in getting up the, I suppose, critical mass, the momentum to counter some of what was going on? Presumably on social media, was it?
My local radio were very united over it because they had checked out, some of them live in the town, and they had checked it out as well, and they had information from me, from the minister by email. on Thursday night, and this only lasted till Monday morning.
And are you concerned about some of the elements who are joining on? You're raising a certain amount of concerns about pressure on resources.
But as I said, when we haven't a plan, when we haven't, like people ask Nessa and Jed and myself and other TDs and councils questions every day, and we can't give them answers. So as I said, it's kind of desperately seeking places, and I suppose if they're seeing, looking at a place now, the rumours that. So I mean, there's no real cohesive strategy, and they haven't had it. And like we're a year into the Ukraine.
I'll just make this very quick.
Before I leave, Matty, there's just one thing, and just following on from what Aoife Moore said there. It's another sentence from your statement there. You said since March there has been a significant increase in the number of non-Ukrainian asylum seekers coming to Ireland from countries such as Somalia, Afghanistan, Nigeria and Georgia, which is considered to be a safe and a potential EU candidate country. Can you see why someone reading that might read into that Somalia,
why is Somalia
Afghanistan, and
from
I just
Ukraine?
Want to wait a moment, Somalia and Afghanistan and Nigeria are being lumped in with Georgia because there's serious instability in the first three, maybe not to the same extent
that's
in the four.
Yeah, but the figures I have, they're Department of Justice figures, they're not my figures.
Sure,
but Department of Justice. I had a Department of Justice PQ as well, where 3,000 in the first 10 months of last year, 3,000, I think, and 138 of them came in from Albania with no paperwork. So, right. And I do agree that some have been trafficked, and that I have heard that totally. But why haven't we enough police there?
Who's Matty to say Somalia is safe?
No,
Afghanistan is safe. What's the difference between Somalia and Ukraine?
Let's just clarify the point. Somalia, Afghanistan, Nigeria, for example, Matty McGrath, are you drawing a distinction between how deserving people coming from those countries are and people coming from Ukraine?
Aoife just said we made Ukraine into something that we put them on a pedestal, got helplessness in an awful situation.
But so did you in that statement?
You know, I'm just saying that, but that's been the narrative since the war started.
You don't agree that you think all people seeking international protection are equal?
And we haven't given as much condemnation of other wars and atrocities that have happened in different parts of the world as we have to Ukraine.
That's a hurricane you want to come in there.
First of all, there is an issue in there around the emotional response we all had to Ukraine, and that the government, maybe because of our neutral stance, we felt like this is how we can add to the war effort. But I definitely think that we need to be really careful about a two-tier system. But I suppose...
But there is a two-tier system. There is a two-tier system.
Well, there is a two-tier system, yeah. But I think what we need to be really careful around is the stigmatisation of people who are economic migrants. Like, we are at full employment. I know we have a housing crisis, but we are at 4.4% unemployment. So we actually need strong young people to come to this country to work. Like, we need staff.
We need and places for them to live.
We do
too,
need places
we?
For them to live. But the idea that somehow if you come to this country and you're willing to work and like, that's valid. Irish people have been doing that for generations.
Yes. We write songs about that.
We do write songs about that.
We reduced it down from 6 months to 3 months.
And finally,
allow people to work.
I just want to say that this thing about... My experience now in Dublin Central is that we're at a stage at the moment, no matter whose fault it is, and I accept government has a lot of the fault here. We're at a stage where there's no good way now. There's no public information to a TD that we can do that will guard against people acting and behaving badly, because certainly in my area we now have like criminal gangs getting involved in this, and if you are prepared to commit arson or if you're prepared to commit a criminal act, there is no briefing of a TD that's going to stop that.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay.
A dangerous situation. That's look at the troubles we had.
All right, Manny. I said a completely different thing.
Okay.
Well, history sure taught us.